Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship this morning. We're glad you're here with us this day. It is a wonderful joy whenever we get to gather together to worship in God's house, to share in the joy of being a church family. Whether it is rain or shine, we gather together. And I just hope that the rain calls it quits by the time we're done with worship so that we can enjoy our barbecue in peace. But we will not be stopped by mere water or winds. We are gathered in fellowship no matter what the weather, no matter what the day. We are always connected by the Holy Spirit. And we come together on Sunday mornings to celebrate that connection, to celebrate the goodness of God's mercy, to celebrate the way our Lord has died for us, risen for us, and given to us gifts immeasurable. So let us take a moment out of our busy lives to worship our God who loves us. Let us begin our time of worship together by singing together our first hymn, number 212. Morning has broken. Be seated. I would like to invite our scripture reader to come forward as our young church make their way down to finish preparations to welcome us. We will see you all after the worship service.
Good morning. The reading today is taken from Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 12. Acts 13, verses 2 to 12. You can find it on page 164 at the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of God. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to do the work to which I have called them." They fasted and prayed, placed their hands on them, and sent them off. We now move the story to Cyprus. Having been sent by the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Saul went to Seleucia and sailed from there to the island of Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues. They had John Mark with them to help in the work. They went all the way across the island to Paphos, where they met a certain magician called Bar Jesus, a Jew who claimed to be a prophet. He was a friend of the governor of the island, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor called Barnabas and Saul before him because he wanted to hear the word of God, but they were opposed by the magician Elymas, that is his name in Greek, who tried to turn the governor away from the faith. Then Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked straight at the magician and said, "You son of the devil, you are the enemy of everything that is good. You are full of all kinds of evil tricks, and you also keep trying to turn the Lord's truths into lies. The Lord's hand will come down on you now, and you will be blind and will not see the light of day for a time." At once Elymas felt a dark mist cover his eyes, and he walked about trying to find someone to lead him by the hand. When the governor saw what had happened, he believed, for he was greatly amazed at the teaching of the Lord, about the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word, and to his name be all honor and praise. We now continue our worship by singing from CH4, number 755. CH4, 755.
As we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading today, let us first offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in this place. As we have listened to your Holy Scripture, we now reflect upon its meaning for us this day. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work among us, that it would shape us, would guide us for all our days. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading today once again comes to us from the book of Acts. As we have been walking through the book of Acts for the past 7-ish weeks or so, we only have 2 more readings left before we finish up our walk through the book of Acts. And I think we will have covered about 45% of it. It's a long book, but we are doing our best to cover sort of the highlights and the important scriptures. Today's scripture begins with the early church fasting and praying. And they are gathered together in assembly, trying to determine where they will spread the word of God next. And then Saul and Barnabas are chosen to head out towards Cyprus and beyond. So the believers gather together, they place their hands on them as a blessing, a tradition that continues now to this day. When I was an ordained minister, a part of my ordination service, all of the ministers in attendance were called forward to lay hands on me, and then elders were called up next to, if there was any room left, put hands on my shoulders or hands on the shoulders of those who were touching me. Which was a very powerful experience, if a little overwhelming, to be surrounded by that many people as you kneel in the church to be prayed over. So they, both Saul and Barnabas, are blessed, and they are sent off on their journey. They arrive in Cyprus and begin to preach the word of God. Saul always begins by preaching at the local Jewish synagogue and then moving on to the Gentiles from there. They have John Mark with them as a helper, and I have to assume he's doing a good job because there's nothing in there that says he isn't. And then they make their way across the island and they reach the city of Paphos, where they meet two very important people. First is the governor, Sergius Paulus, who we are told is an intelligent man who wishes to hear the word of God, and thus sends for both Barnabas and Saul. And then we are introduced to the sort of villain of our story, a man by name of Bar-Jesus, which in Aramaic would have meant the son of Jesus. So Bar-Jesus is the son of Jesus. And this is a phrase that we're going to find out is a little ironic. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus was not an uncommon name. Jesus is the Greek version of Joshua, which is a very common name in the Jewish faith. And this guy probably was the son of a guy named Jesus, no relation to Jesus of Nazareth. So Bar-Jesus is here, and he also goes by another name, Elymas the Sorcerer, or Elymas the Magician, depending on how you want to translate it. He is a man known by two names who is here to stand in the way of the disciples sharing the good news of God. We don't really know what he's been up to here, other than he has made a cozy seat next to the governor, using sorcery and magic to make his way in the world. But here he specifically makes the effort to turn the governor away from the faith. He is doing something to interfere with Saul and Barnabas. But then the scriptures tell us Saul, who was also known as Paul, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he turns to Elymas the sorcerer and says, "You are the child of the devil," as if to counter the fact that his name is Son of Jesus. Because this man is no son of our Savior. He is full of deceit and trickery. Paul continues on by saying, "Will you never stop twisting the pathways of the Lord? Now see, the hand of God is against you, and you will be blind for a time, unable to even see the light of the sun." And suddenly mist and darkness overtake Elymas, and he can no longer see. And the governor believes. This scripture is a strong role reversal for the man named Paul, who was also known as Saul. He was a man of two names who desired to twist the pathways of the Lord and stop the good news of Jesus Christ. The man named Bar-Jesus, who is no son of Christ, bears similarity to the man named Saul, who was no follower of the way. Both of them attempted to sway those in power to stop the gospel. Both, as a result, were struck blind by the hand of God. The big difference is that Saul had companions to take him and lead him by the hand. Saul fasted and prayed to God, and as such was given transformation and healing. Elymas fumbled about, searching for anyone to lead him by the hand, and he is no man of godly nature, so fasting and praying seems unlikely in his future. In the scriptures today, Saul finally overcomes his past and becomes the man known as Paul, who has written many of the letters that are in the New Testament and will be known as Paul for the rest of the book of Acts. It is a change that is almost unceremonious. When we saw Jacob get his name, he had to wrestle an angel all night and be told that he would be the father of nations. In earlier part of the book of Acts, Barnabas gave everything he had to the church and so was named Barnabas, because he is one who supports. But here in the scripture, we are just told Saul, who is also known as Paul, was filled by the Holy Spirit. We're not even told what the name Paul means, just that this is his other name. But I do think this scripture is purposeful in when they choose to change his name, because Luke has been making this plan the whole time. Here we see reversals and reflections of who Saul was, which also show us where Paul is going. And though I think this scripture is primarily about Paul, I do think there are lots of moments that are relevant to us still today. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen very many sorcerers running amok in Scotland. That said, there are still things in our lives that are working hard to stop the growth of the gospel, many of them as an unintended byproduct. We live in a world where companies are desperate to control your time. I don't know about you, but I have received many adverts telling me where to go on holiday, what shows to watch, what podcasts to listen to, where to shop, how to spend my money. There are two legal cases at work right now in America where we are learning that these social media companies engineered their apps to be addictive. We learned a couple years ago that there are some children's programs that were engineered so that children would not look away. They literally ran tests to see if we run the episode this way, will they look away to a distraction? And tried to make it so that kids would only focus on the TV and wouldn't look away for anything. There are lots of people at work in this world who are trying to steal your attention away. And it can feel very disheartening to see the world around us and find that people are more keen on shopping and sports and entertainment than they are to engage with their local churches. And there are lots of different hobbies and pastimes that steal our attentions away from the gospel. This is not to single any one specific thing out. This is just the nature of living in the modern age. And while sometimes I admit it can feel overwhelming to look at a world where everyone feels either distracted or disinterested in learning more about the good news the church has to share, I think there are a couple of key lessons in the scripture today that still apply to us now. The scriptures began with the disciples gathered together. Prophets and teachers alike were told to discern the will of the Holy Spirit and to work together. We should remember to seek out those who are attuned to listening to God's voice, to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and let that be our guide to the paths of righteousness. In today's story, we also heard about how, though the governor was not religious, he was a curious man. And that's something very simple that we can do, is to encourage curiosity and a desire to learn in the world around us. It is a lot easier to have a discussion about something new and different when someone is willing to learn about something new and different. If we can help encourage curiosity and kindness, we will find a world where it is easier to discuss what it means to follow Jesus and who he actually is, to learn more about what it means to be a Christian. And though I think it can be hard in our lives to identify any specific individual sorcerers who are causing issues, I think that we can take a different approach to this. Rather than saying we should keep our eyes open for people to be struck down or ignored, I think there is a better alternative that can help raise our spirits a little bit. One of the things that came up after our discussion at Bible study this week is a reminder of a story that I heard when I was very young. When I was a boy living in America, there was a Presbyterian minister who was on the television pretty much every day of the week. A lot of people didn't know that he was an ordained minister in the PCUSA, but lots of people loved him all the same. Now, I don't think that you probably get the same PBS programs that we used to as a child, but I used to watch a show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Mr. Rogers always wore jumpers that were hand-knit by his mother on the show. And you would come into his house, and he would take off his shoes, and he would welcome you as a guest into his home, and then would tell stories and would have different things. But one of these episodes in particular, he spoke of a time when he was a child and was feeling very afraid and panicked about a sort of event that was happening in the world. And his mother offered him these kind words, and he in turn offered them to us. When the world is distressed and when you feel afraid, look for the helpers, because you will always find people who are helping. If we follow in the footsteps of our scripture and surround ourselves with people who seek the Holy Spirit, with those who wish to learn, and with helpers who wish to aid us in our mission, we will find that the task is a little bit easier to spread the gospel far and wide. And should we look up and find that helpers are few and far between, that is a strong calling. That it is time for us to rise to the occasion and help as well. So let us endeavor to learn from our scriptures today, to help one another, to follow the Holy Spirit, to encourage kindness and curiosity, and in so grow the Holy Spirit and grow the kingdom of God here on earth evermore. This is the good news of our scripture reading today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, we are surrounded by a world that clamors for our attention and our allegiance. We ask that you would help us to keep our eyes peeled for the Holy Spirit at work in the world around us. That you would help us to be an encouraging presence to the people around us, and let them encourage us in turn. We ask your blessing upon us this day, that we would have the courage to follow your Holy Spirit, the courage to be curious and to help one another in a world where help can be so few and far between. We ask that your Spirit would guide us this day and every day, evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, let us bring our time of worship to a close by singing together our final hymn, number 256, May the God of Hope Go With Us.
Thank you.
Friends, whether it is you depart after our final amens and singing, or a time spent at the barbecue, whenever it is that you go, take with you this charge and benediction when you do. Friends, our gospel reading has shown to us today that the old ways will serve us well still. To trust and follow in the Holy Spirit, to encourage kindness and curiosity, to trust our God to lead us on the way, that we might help one another and nourish each other by our faith. And isn't that a wonderful thing to be called to? And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of our Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us, always.